Track 10, The Money Trap, Part 1. On the last track, we discussed yeses and shoulds, and what stops you from saying no is fear. On this track, we will examine the contradictory attitudes towards money, and this is called Money Trap, Part 1. The next track is called Money Trap, Part 2. On this track, we'll look at money from the point of being good or money being evil. Money can't buy you happiness. Money is the root of all evil. Are these philosophies in your life? But how far should you go in shunning all financial comfort? Do you ever wish you could just give up your job just so you don't have to go back to the everyday humdrum of life? Do you sometimes want the holiday vacation to last forever? On the other end of the financial spectrum are those people who believe that money brings happiness. In today's society, they are labeled as miserly or greedy. During the holidays, the disparity between those two extremes becomes even more apparent. So, where do you fit on your financial philosophy? Let's find out. To place yourself on a timeline of financial philosophy, you may consider trying a holiday financial reflection exercise. Here it is. Number one, make a list of all the gifts you bought this Christmas season, along with the recipient's name. Number two, write down the reason, the honest reason, that you bought this specific gift for that specific person. If you have multiple reasons, feel free to list them. For example, I bought the Power Ranger doll for Steve because it was cheap and he likes television. Number three, now, review your list of reasons. Were they financially motivated or were they motivated by a sincere understanding of the person's characteristics? One of the greatest concerns as the days of gift-giving approached is how much you will be able to spend on your loved one's presents. You don't want to disappoint them. Then, once the unwrapping is done, you look at your depleted bank account in disbelief at all the money that is now not there. You then, of course, feel guilty about being so selfish and assure yourself that in giving you receive. What you could be aware of is that your concerns are perhaps well-founded. You don't have to be ashamed or worry about your financial situation, even if the cause was good-hearted. A healthy watchfulness, obviously, over your income is part of creating a stable environment for yourself. Without this stable income, you would not be able to survive, obviously. This is evidence of the dynamic in society today. Two distinct attitudes hold true related to money. One is, money is wonderful. The other attitude is, money is evil. Since both are extremes, it is in the balance between these two beliefs that I believe one finds happiness. It is almost impossible to find this means without changing your pattern. Susan and Phil were a young couple who spent most of their money on lavish parties around Christmas and New Year's. They worked a modestly paying job, and their expenses drastically outweighed their incomes. They were living well beyond their means and consistently fell into debt. Even though when Phil got a promotion at his job, the new influx of money soon disappeared as they continued to spend more than they had. Sound familiar? Do you see the pattern that Susan and Phyllis fell into? Are you in a similar pattern that you know you should probably break? What then can be done once a pattern of this kind is established, the kind where you make a certain amount and overspend? The following exercise may help. Before you begin this exercise, it is probably a good idea not to allow any self-criticism to enter into the process. You might find yourself wanting to side with the angry voice inside in order to bring about change. Usually, remorse does not really motivate. This desire to attack yourself stems from the part of you that values conflict. Let me repeat that. This desire to attack yourself related to your spending patterns stems from perhaps the part of you that values conflict. Pain arises from conflict, and pain will only take you further into your holiday depression and letdown. There's 6 parts to this. Here we go. Number 1, close your eyes and think in a very general way about your experiences with money. Just let various senses come to mind. As you do this, be conscious of your anxiety level, and when you open your eyes, write down the kinds of things that are the most disturbing. You are not looking for just 1 or 2 embarrassing or difficult moments, but for a pattern related to your spending and related to money. Briefly describe 1 or more of these spending patterns that create anxiety for you. What sort of pattern can you detect in your everyday life related to money? Number 2. Take only 1 or 2 of these reoccurring problems, perhaps the one that is the most time-consuming, and ask yourself, what are the kinds of thoughts and feelings, especially what are the circumstances, let me repeat that, thoughts, feelings, and circumstances that come before and surrounding an outbreak of this pattern of spending. Number 3. Using whatever relaxation technique or mental trick you wish, quiet your body and your mind and rest for a few seconds. In other words, take a deep breath and relax. First, look at the set of circumstances that usually attend your special problem with money. Is it a pressure to buy the perfect gift to please someone? Then look at the problem itself. What are some simple ways to bypass the circumstances that trigger the problem? In other words, what do you need to do in your own head to perhaps not be so much of a people pleaser or the perfect parent or the perfect significant other, to seek approval from other people? You are not necessarily interested in discovering how to change the circumstances themselves so much as seeing how to avoid them. Number 4, concentrate on exactly what is happening around you whenever you are the least bit excited or fearful about money matters. To do this, you must become very conscious of anything at all that has to do with money. Let me repeat number 4 again. You're concentrating on exactly what happens around you when you are the least bit excited or fearful about money matters. So is it writing the check for the credit card? Is it answering the phone if you're having bill collectors call? Number 5, return your attention to that specific pattern and ask yourself what you now want to do about this problem. Remember to allow yourself any option and then decide on 1 specific step. Let it be a plan that you are confident is within your present readiness to carry out. Number 6, keep repeating 5 and try new measures. In other words, look at the habits that got you into the spending. If it's being a people pleaser, ask yourself at what cost. Reevaluate that pattern from reoccurring. Susan and Philip found that when they felt they had to impress another, they went on a spending spree. They discovered that their need to impress overshadowed their basic daily necessities. Susan and Philip decided to invite less people to their gatherings and invite only very close friends. By doing this, they reduced the pressure on themselves to entertain all their friends. On this track, we discuss the contradictory attitudes about money. Money is good or money is evil. We also discussed a plan for looking at your spending patterns. On the next track, we will examine possessions and how they affect attitudes as signs of personal wealth, as a reflection of independence, and as an expression of your surroundings. Here's question 11. What are 2 contradictory views about money?